Hi, I'm John Weber. My guest today is award-winning vocalist Karen Oberlin. One of the premier interpreters of the Great American Songbook, she's played major venues including the Metropolitan Room, Jazz at Lincoln Center, and Town Hall in New York. The New York Times praises her impeccable style and musical intelligence. She appeared in the first stage production of Rent, and her recent appearances in Paris and London have won her international acclaim as a champion of popular song. It's a pleasure to have her on the show today. Karen Oberlin, welcome to Piano Jazz.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Karen, as a kid, what kind of music did you hear around the house?
Classical, classical, classical. With a little musical theater just tossed in, but mostly classical. I grew up with classical musician parents, so that was definitely what was in my environment.
And what instruments did your parents play?
Oh, my father was the first chair flautist of the Syracuse Symphony upstate New York. And my mother, at that point, was a violinist when they first met. They met at Tanglewood. And she's now a philosopher, but she played piano and violin. And I played piano and cello and flute. And I sang. And I guess you can see which one I stuck with. I think the singing prevailed.
Oh, and you're fantastic. And what was Christmas like over at the in the household? What would you do? You just get together and sing carols?
Well, it's still the same way it was when I was a kid, which is people come over to the house and we sing classic Christmas carols in soprano, alto, tenor, bass sections, right? It's taken very seriously. We have a conductor, we have a hired pianist, and then we sing selections from the Messiah. Just a casual holiday gathering.
Every family does that. Well, that's an incredible background. That's a great foundation for what you were later to do with your voice, because you started singing more jazz, I guess, at some point in your life. I mean, was there anything in between? Did you sing any rock bands in between?
I did. I think I explored many, many different avenues of music. I sang in a new wave band, in a rock band. I even sang in a punk band. But I think all of these journeys, musical journeys, if you'll forgive the term, they're all valuable paths for me, and they help inform what I do every time I sing.
Yeah. I would love to hear you sing something perhaps from the American Popular Songbook. What do you think? Maybe we do a standard. What do you like?
Well, what if we do something from our show that we had at the Algonquin?
Well, I had the pleasure of playing that Frank Lesser show with you for a nice run at the Algonquin Hotel in New York, and it would be just wonderful to revisit this. What do you have in mind?
Well, I thought we'd start with a song we sang as the first song in our show. And it's the first song in the live CD as well, I think. And you did some interesting things with it. I'd love to share what you did in the arrangement as well. And then we added a few extra choruses that we found in the lyric book of his music that was cut from songs. So we have that as a sort of a bonus couple choruses to the song as well.
And the title is?
If I Were a Bell.
Yeah, let's do it.
Ask me how do I feel? Ask me now that we're cozy and clinging. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bell, I'd be ringing. From the moment we kiss tonight, that's the way I've just got to behave. Or if I were a lamp, I'd light. Or if I were a banner, I'd wave. Ask me how do I feel, little me with my quiet upbringing. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a gate, I'd be swinging. And if I were a watch, I'd start popping my spring. And if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding. Ask me how do I feel from this chemistry lesson I'm learning. Well, sir, all I can say is if I were a bridge, I'd be burning. Yes, I knew my morale would crack from the wonderful way that you look, boy. If I were a duck, I'd quack, or if I were a goose, I'd be cooked. Ask me how do I feel, ask me now that we're fondly caressing, pal. If I were a salad, I know I'd be splashing my dressing. And if I were a season, I'd surely be spring. And if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding. Ask me how do I feel, and my answer is perfectly candid. Yes, if I were a fish, I'd be hooked, I'd be hauled, I'd be landed. In addition, may I announce, it's a feeling that simply won't stop, boy. If I were a ball, I'd bounce, or if I were a bubble, I'd pop. Ask me how do I feel, little me with my weak solar plexus. Man, if I were a state, I'd be grand, I'd be great, I'd be Texas. Ask me how to describe this whole beautiful thing. Well, if I were a bell, yes, if I were a bell, oh, if I were a bell, I'd go ding dong, ding dong, ding.
Beautiful job, Karen.
Oh, thanks so much.
I just love the fact that you found a third chorus to If I Were a Bell. I still can't even get over that even now. That you found it somewhere in a book, previously unsung, written for the show and just never used. And nobody ever stumbled on that before. How did you find that?
Well, there are these wonderful lyric books. There's a man named Robert Kimball, and he has a number of books of the complete lyrics of, in this case, it was Frank Lesser, but he has a number of others as well, Cole Porter, maybe Irving Berlin, I think, as well. And so we have these great reference books where we can involve ourselves in exploring the material and exploring lyrics that have never been discovered before. Also, there are a number of estates, music estates, like the Frank Lesser Music Company. His widow, Jo Sullivan Lesser, carries on his musical tradition and helps performers, if they contact them, with finding material. And she was instrumental, no pun intended, with helping us with the research as well.
That's great. And you do make it a point to contact people if they are still alive. You contacted, for example, Doris Day. You made a wonderful CD featuring the music of Doris Day, which I love. Tell me about
that.
Thank
you.
What made you her music special for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that because she was never so special to me. I mean, I enjoyed her movies growing up. I'd heard her songs, and I'd heard Que Sera Sera. It hadn't made that deep an impression on me until I heard her singing with the Les Brown Band and learning that she was a teenager when she was touring with this big band and that she could swing like as well as anybody could swing in the big bands, and that she was this wild, sexy, swinging teenager. And it was a Doris Day I didn't know. So I was determined to learn more, and I was beyond intrigued. And it's been a labor of love for many years, learning more about her work, her albums. There are certain albums of hers that I'm crazy about, like Day by Day, Day by Night, Duet, the album that she made with André Previn. But I think when she was allowed to sing what she wanted to sing, she sang great songs, and she sang them so intimately and so beautifully. And she has this rich quality, and she has incredible time. And I don't think that's the Doris Day that many people think they know.
Right. Very underrated jazz singer as well, obviously, when she did the album with André Previn about 1960. And I don't think it was released until maybe 2000 or so. And I was pleasantly surprised by that. I loved her work already, but I think that really, really pushed me over the edge. And when I heard you actually recorded a piece of André Previn's on your album Secret Love.
I did. It was a song that was on that album, and I think it's a wonderful song. It's simple and yet poignant.
I'd like to do it with you. Would you mind?
Let's do it.
What's the title?
It's called Yes.
I love it.
when he asked me, should I stay and never go away? I'll tell him yes. I'll tell him yes. And if he should hold me fast and whisper, will it last? I'll tell him yes. I'll tell him yes, yes, yes. To every question, yes. To every whim, I've no other answer when it comes to him, unless he happens to suggest perhaps it would be best if he should go, if he should go. If he asks me, wouldn't it be just as well? I'll tell him no. Perhaps it would be best if he should go, if he should go.
Karen, that was absolutely gorgeous.
You're so kind. It's fun to play that song with you, John. We should do that more often.
I never hear that song.
I don't know why. It's such a beautiful song. He has many beautiful songs. He really wrote, he has a whole body of work of popular songs that few people know about.
Well, Andre Previn, this is, and he wrote it with Dori Previn?
He wrote that particular song with Dori Previn. He wrote many of his songs with Dori Previn.
Now, you had the privilege of meeting Andre Previn, right?
I did. I met him in New York at the Blue Note. He was playing with David Fink, bass player, who's also on my album. So I had a personal connection to him, and he was very generous, very kind. And he also gave me one of my favorite quotes. But I'm going to have to paraphrase, so forgive me. But if it doesn't scare you, it's probably not worth it.
There you go. There you go. I believe that.
I think he's lived by that, don't you?
Yep. No guts, no glory.
Reinventing himself all the time.
Well, it's amazing. You can meet these musicians in New York because it's, of all the places you could have pursued a vocal career, why New York City?
Well, it's the land of opportunity, isn't it? There are so many musical avenues you can take and performance opportunities, both as a performer, but also to see and be inspired by so many great artists. So I feel very lucky that I get to live here.
Yeah, and there's jazz and cabaret. Now, I've heard, describe for me the connection and distinctions between a jazz performance and a cabaret performance.
Ooh, good question. Cabaret can take many, many forms. You can be sort of a musical theater cabaret artist. You can be more of a jazz artist. And it's more about telling stories and songs and communicating with your audience than anything else. So cabaret isn't a genre the way jazz is a genre, even though many people, I think, believe it to be. And it certainly was when it was in Weimar, Germany. But now it takes many, many forms. But it is my favorite way to perform, to have that connection with an audience and be able to communicate the lyrics as well as the music in that kind of environment.
And you do it so well. I'm seeing more cabaret artists performing in jazz rooms such as Gitano and Birdland and Jazz at Lincoln Center. At the same time, seeing some enormously famous jazz people performing in venues which feature mostly cabaret artists. Do you see this trend continuing?
I hope it does. I think it's important to soften the edges of our categorization, and that's a good thing, ultimately, I think.
Because we do some tunes which could play in either kind of a room. In other words, there's some beautiful ballads that I think could do just as well at Birdland or the Blue Note as they would at the Metropolitan Room. For example, there's one that I would love to do. I'm going to make a request. A tune from about 1940 by, I think it's Kim Gannon and Joseph Miro.
Oh, you know those songwriters. You're so good. Yeah, I'd love to sing that song.
Which song is that?
Autumn Nocturne.
I love it. You wanna?
Sure, let's do it. When autumn sings her lullaby, green leaves turn to gold, then I remember that September you and I said goodbye, whispering that we would be returning when autumn came again. Now autumn rose the hills once more, but you forgot our vow, and here am I with only lonely memories, only lonely memories, autumn memories of you. When the leaves are turning, I get a hungry yearning for your arms. Love, when the heart is sober, it shadows bright October's golden charms. The flaming moon reminds me of that night of love that we once knew. Each tiny star is but a prayer that when it fall again, love will call again.
the leaves are turning, I get a hungry yearning for your arms. Love, when the heart is sober, it shadows bright October's golden charms. The flaming moon reminds me of that night of love that we once knew. Again, love will call again, and you'll be beside me to make my autumn dreams come
Beautifully done, Karen.
Thank you so much. Likewise.
It's a real pleasure to accompany you. We were talking a little bit about Andre Previn playing for Doris Day, and sometimes just piano and voice is pretty complete.
That's all you need sometimes, yeah. And it's so much fun to play with you. And that song is a special song. I don't know any other song quite like it.
Well, tell me what attracted you to the music of Duke Ellington's longtime collaborator, Billy Strayhorn.
Well, I didn't really reach out to it. It reached out to me because my husband is Billy Strayhorn's biographer, David Haidu. He wrote the biography called Lush Life, which, of course, is his best-known song. And he wrote that song, Lush Life, and Something to Live For, among other songs, before he ever even met Duke Ellington. And he wrote many songs that are just so gorgeous, some of which are better known, some not so well known, some written as instrumentals that had lyrics put to them after his death. There's a song called Blood Count that Elvis Costello wrote lyrics to that's extraordinary, that he wrote very, very late in his life, actually just before he died. And there are a number of songs written that had lyrics that he didn't love. Many forms of the songs that have existed.
And some of them sounded, again, like they were written instrumentally that nobody could ever possibly add a lyric, but someone did. And a few people have added really, really good lyrics to some, and because I've heard you sing them.
Absolutely. There's a lyricist around right now named Roger Shore, and he wrote lyrics to an original instrumental by Billy Strayhorn that was originally titled, get this, Ballade for Very Sad and Very Tired Lotus Eaters.
Wow.
Doesn't quite trip off the tongue necessarily for a singer.
And that was rechristened as what when it became the song?
It became Bittersweet.
Oh, that scans so much easier.
Yeah, I think so.
I would love to play that for you.
Oh, I would love to sing it with you.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And so the romance went sour, with war declared upon the hour. No more charades. The feeling fades to bittersweet. So what if tears fell in oceans? Who needs that whirlpool of emotions? That flying start, that broken heart, so bittersweet. Love, it comes and goes, but always in disguise. string of promises tied in a knot of lies. Still, there were moments worth praising. So warm and tender and amazing, that mixture of both hurt and love is bittersweet, bittersweet.
That was very beautifully done, Karen. I love that.
Oh, thanks, John. Right back at you.
What a pleasure to play for you. I hear something new every single time, and I heard on those low notes, it's just some nice, smoky Carmen McRae moments.
Oh, boy. Well, that's high praise. I'm not sure I deserve that, but thank you.
I hear something different every single time I play with you, and I've played with you for a long time.
Well, thanks. We can explore the tune together every time. It's fun.
It's always a blast. Well, there's more coming up with vocalist Karen Oberlin. I'm John Weber, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR Music. Karen, I always enjoy the history that you always seem to know behind every single song that you sing. And I'd tell me the history of, just name a song and tell me all about it.
Well, let's see. One of my favorite song histories is the history of A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. Bombs were falling. It was during the Blitz in London. And they kept calm and carried on, as the phrase goes. They went out, they went to work, they went to nightclubs, and they heard singers sing. And actually, when Vera Lynn first sang this song, if you can call it that, it was more of a poetry reading to music. And I believe Noel Coward was in the audience for that first night. And the song eventually became sort of the motif for the song of World War II. And I was singing this song, so it has a personal history to me too, because once when I was singing this song, somebody who had been in London at the end of the war said this particular song, A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square, was sung from the balcony of Buckingham Palace to demonstrate the end of the war.
Wow. I knew it was a big World War II song, but I didn't realize there was that it was that important.
It's an important historical song for Londoners especially.
Well, I'd love to play it for you.
Oh, would you?
That'd be a blast.
I would love that too.
All right.
When true lovers meet in Mayfair, so the legends tell. Songbirds sing, winter turns to spring. Every winding street in Mayfair falls beneath the spell. I know such enchantment can be, 'cause it happened one evening to me. That certain night, the night we met, there was magic abroad in the air. There were angels dining at the Ritz, and a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. I may be wrong, but I'm perfectly willing to swear that when you turned and smiled at me, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. The moon that lingered over London town, how could he know we two were so in love? The whole darn world seemed upside down. The streets of town were paved with stars. It was such a romantic affair. And as we kissed and said goodnight, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square. Came stealing up all gold and blue to interrupt our rendezvous. I still remember how you smiled and said, was that a dream or was it true? Our homeward step was just as light as the tap dancing feet stair, and like an echo far away, a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
I was there. That night in Berkeley Square.
Karen, that was very beautifully sung. I love that.
Oh, thanks. It's so much fun to sing that with you.
As a waltz. You do it as a waltz.
Well, I think the song, when it has that kind of movement, it brings so much to the song, and it brings the lyrics alive in a way.
It has a lot of power, and again, the whole reference to being a wartime song and being one that they played at Buckingham Palace when the war was over in celebration. Music helps us overcome a lot of hard times, doesn't it?
Thank goodness we have it.
Yeah. There are, speaking of hard times, there were plenty of female songwriters back in the 1920s and 1930s who probably, it was hard enough for a man to make a living in the business, but women had it infinitely harder, didn't they?
I don't think they went into songwriting unless they felt that they had no choice. And thank goodness a few of them felt that way, like Kay Swift, Dorothy Fields, a number of the female songwriters who made great songs.
I love Dorothy Fields.
Oh, I love Dorothy Fields.
What's your favorite Dorothy Fields lyric?
Oh, that would have to be a song she wrote with Jerome Kern called Remind Me. And it's a beautiful lyric, but very few people have ever heard the lyrics themselves because the song was in a film called One Night at the Tropics. It was made in 1940, and the song was sung with a dialect, and it was sung to a rumba. So the words are lost in that version of the song, I think. But it's nice to be able to sing the song and hear the lyrics of the song, perhaps in a more conducive way to lyric listening.
Well, the way you sing Remind Me, I definitely catch every lyric, and I never paid attention to the lyric anywhere near as much until I heard you sing it, so I would love to do that with you.
Oh, I'd love to sing it with you. Turn off that charm. I'm through with love for a while. I'm through, and yet you have a fabulous smile. So if I forget, remind me not to find you so attractive. Remind me that the world is full of men. When I start to miss you, to touch your hand, to kiss you, remind me to count to 10. I had a feeling when I met you, drive me crazy if I let you. But all my efforts to forget you remind me I'm in love again. I get my heart well in hand, and I'm certain that I can take you or leave you alone. Then you begin that begin again, and boom, I give in again. I have a will made of steel, my friend, but when it seems about to bend.
remind me not to mention that I love you. Remind me to be sorry that we met. Although I adore you, remind me to ignore you. You're one thing I will regret. Begins to blind me, I'll simply tie my hands behind me. Don't let me kiss you, please remind me. Unless, my darling, you forget.
Very well done. What a great lyric.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, Dorothy Fields. Boy, she could write a lyric.
Fantastic. I like it a lot. Some people just know how to write the song. Some people just have the gift. They can write lyrics, music. And your Frank Lesser show, for example. I mean, here's a guy who did both.
He could do both. He really could. He was a wonderful collaborator as well.
Yeah, he did lyrics before he wrote music, right? He wrote with Hoagie Carmichael, I think, and Burton Lane, maybe a few songs.
He did, yeah, quite a lot. Early when he was in his sort of Hollywood stage. And then he went on to write Broadway shows. He wrote, Frank Lesser wrote Guys and Dolls. He wrote A Most Happy Fella, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Oh, there's a funny story about that show.
Do tell.
Because Abe Burrows was writing the book, and they were working together on the songs and the show itself. The most recent production was the 50th anniversary of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Tiny little title, right? Yeah. On Broadway. And this new production had Daniel Radcliffe in it. Harry Potter, exactly. So it has a lot of irony in the show, and in sort of it's sort of this not terribly bright guy and his ambition, and it's sort of a parody on, you know, the whole sort of business, the workplace. And they were trying to figure out how to fit the song I Believe in You into the show as a ballad. And then Abe Burrows, working with Frank Lesser, said, well, what if we have the lead character played by Robert Morse in that original version so wonderfully? What if we have him singing it to himself in the men's room mirror? And Frank Lesser apparently said, I ought to smack you, but then laughed, and it was in the show just like that.
I love it. I love that story. That's great. We should do a I Believe in You.
Why not? Let's do that.
All right.
Now there you are, yes, there's that face, that face that somehow I trust. It may embarrass you to hear me say it, yet say it I must. You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. I believe in you. I believe in you. I hear the sound of good, solid judgment whenever you talk. Yet there's that bold, brave spring of the tiger that quickens your walk. Oh, I believe in you. And when my faith in my fellow man all but falls apart, I've but to feel your hand
hand, grasping mine, and I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. Oh, I believe in you. My fellow man all but falls apart. I've but to feel your hand grasping mine, and I take heart to see the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that slam, bang, tang, reminiscent of gin and vermouth. Oh, I believe in you.
Wow, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was great fun. Thanks, John.
What a blast. I love the fact that you sang that song and I didn't even feel the narcissism or the tongue-in-cheekness of it. It just felt like a nice, rousing, fun song.
The lyrics are great. It's a lot of fun.
And it could have been a love song. It's about confidence building and, you know, I like the range that you do. You sing songs that are tongue-in-cheek and you sing songs that are poignant and very, very heartfelt and very, very touching, moving songs. There was one in particular I would like to ask you about that you recorded on your very first album called My Standards. And the title is When She Loved Me. Do you remember doing that?
Oh, the Randy Newman song. That's from Toy Story 2.
Exactly.
And when I first heard it in the film, I was bawling my eyes out. It was just such a beautiful moment, sung by the doll of a young girl when the doll is rejected by the girl.
Because she grows up and she outgrows her. And, you know, something, I was on an airplane when I saw that the first time, and I got up and everybody had the same reaction. Everybody was weeping because they all felt that at one point in their lives, that abandonment and that. And it's such a great song. And it's from 1999, I believe.
Yeah, Randy Newman. He can really write a song.
Can I do that with you?
I would love it.
It'd be great.
When somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. Every hour we spent together lives within my heart. And when he was sad, I was there to dry his tears. And when he was happy, so was I. When he me. So the
years went by, I stayed the same, but he began to drift away. I was left alone. Still, I waited for the day when he'd say, I will always love you. Lonely and forgotten, never thought he'd look my way. He smiled at me and held me the way he used to do. When he loved me, when he loved me, when somebody loved me, everything was beautiful. Every hour we spent together lives within. When he loved me.
What a beautiful song that is, and well sung by you.
Thank you. Randy Newman, great song.
Yeah, and I think that when women sing it, sometimes they switch the gender to when he loved me. And
well, because I think it holds up as a love song. And so not that there's anything wrong with singing a woman singing to a woman. That's perfectly reasonable. But we decided many years ago to change that to for a woman singing to a man, perhaps even just to change it. And just to try it on as a woman-to-man love song. So that's what we did then, and so that's what we did today.
Yes. I guess I have it inexorably associated with the scene in the movie with the doll singing about her owner,
yeah,
growing up and forgetting about her.
Well, I guess it's distilled into being about love and loss.
Yes, exactly.
Song isn't about love and loss?
None.
Really?
They're all about that. Well, I can think of a few. There's some that are just done for fun, just for laughs.
Just for fun, absolutely.
Yeah, let's do one of those. We only have one song left on this show. Can you believe this hour is up?
I can't believe it. This has been so much fun. Thanks so much for having me.
You're a blast. I love playing for you in every song. And we should just do something fun, just something not heavy, not serious, just fun.
I think I have just the song. It's a Billy Strayhorn song, and it's a great way, I think, to end. And also, it even says goodbye. Well, almost. It says, Goombye. I'm checking out Goombye. The song was originally an instrumental dedicated to Barney Bagard, who was a member of the Ellington Band. I think the song was originally titled Barney Going Easy. Now it's I'm checking out Goombye.
Let's do it.
I thought I'd call you, I hope you're not sick, 'cause I'm checking out, goombye. Nice to have known you, you were my big kick, but I'm checking out, goombye. You tried an old trick, you found a new chick, but I was too slick. I'm in the know, you got to go, the cake is all dough, it's too bad our bliss had to miss out like this. I'm checking out, goombye. Thank you. not sick, 'cause I'm checking out. Goodbye. Nice to have known you. You were my big kick, but I'm checking out. Goodbye. You tried an old trick. You found a new chick, but I was too slick. I'm in the know, you got to go. The cake is all dough. It's too bad our bliss had to miss out like this. I'm checking out, goodbye. I'm checking out, goodbye.
That was great. Karen Oberlin, thank you so much for being on Piano Jazz.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. I've had such a great time.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with John Weber and his guest, Karen Oberlin. This program is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio and is recorded at her studios in New York City, with post-production in the Elaine T. Freeman Suite at ETV Radio in Columbia, South Carolina. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer Andrew Shire. Mastering engineer David Mitchell. Production manager Grant Jackson. Production assistant Laura Hunsberger. The executive producer is Kobe Hennessy. The executive in charge is Linda O'Brien. Special thanks to Anya Grundman, director and executive producer of NPR Music. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the Friends of Piano Jazz and NPR. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR contributors, which include the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org, and the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture, poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.